Hi, I'm Dr. Pamela Mertens, the head EdLink trainer for LDOE. And this session is going to demonstrate how to complete an in-home application, a renewal and new. I'll be switching back and forth in my dialogue to explain how to do both. However, you would not complete a new application unless you are a new provider, never having been certified, or you are moving. We do not have change of location for in-home. So you would complete a new application with your new address on that, okay? So let's get started here. We've already clicked on our renewal button. It either says renewal application or it'll say submit renewal application up from your dashboard, okay? Your entity dashboard. And this is the page that we will see. Now for renewals, it'll say renewal application home. For new applications, it'll simply say this up here, application home. Make sure you do read the badges because it does explain to you how the process works. When you complete a step, you get a green badge. If it's incomplete, it's assigned a yellow badge. And you must visit them all in chronological order before you can go back to any of the previous steps. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to work your way all the way down to 13 before you can go back to step two. You just have to visit all of them in order up to where you stop, and then anything prior to that, you can go back to in any order you'd like, okay? So visit them once, and then you can revisit them. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. We're going to click on step one, and for renewals, that's going to say modify and verify. About 65 to 70% of your information has transferred in from our legacy programs. But there is still quite a bit that you need to verify and modify, just like the step says. Next year, when you renew, we're looking at probably as much as 95 to 97% of your information be transferred. You'll just simply be updating in the old records. Okay, but for this time around, it's a little less. Okay, so we're at the application instructions now. I want you to expand the instructions and be sure to read them carefully. List of all providers and support staff members. We want to make sure that you have all of your information or ducks in a row, so to speak, before you begin your application process. So one of the best things that you can do is using your desktop. You can create a folder and label it EdLink 2023. And then inside that folder, you can have other folders, subfolders for your staff. And inside that staff folder, each one of your staff members or residents can have their own folder. Now, as an in-home, I know that you probably do not have staff, but you may have other documents that you want to break down as far as EdLink for the application. You might want your credentials. You might want the any type of home credentials, resident credentials, okay? So organize everything first into that file, all right? So now let's open this back up. And remember too that your CCCBC, the status is integrated into the EdLink application. You do not have to upload or sign anything with EdLink. It will, upon entering a correct social security number and birth date, it will display the current status of the individual, okay? You must have eligible in order to submit the application. Qualifications for your provider and support staff. So the qualifications for the provider are listed here if you click on this link, okay? But they're also listed here. So for your providers, you're gonna need CPR, your pediatric first aid, pre-service orientation, medication administration, mandated reporters, and ELC experience. Okay, so this is not exclusive. There are a couple more, so you need to click here to see those. Now, the pre-service orientation are for those providers who are CCAP, if they're CCAP providers. If you are not a CCAP provider, this year only, you will be required to just upload what we call a dummy doc. In other words, just a blank Word file. You can just name it pre-service orientation so that we satisfy that criteria. Next year, you will not have to do this. Okay. So let's move on now to pre-service orientation training for our CCAT providers. You will need to upload the actual training, the 4-hour training. The link to the Udemy course is right here. You don't have a certificate that's issued, but you will have a completion screen that you'll need to either take a picture of or do a screenshot of, and you'll upload that later in the application. And your CCCBC, I just went over that one. Okay, emergency preparedness plan. So your emergency preparedness plan can be found here at this link. If you have your own that you're using, that is fine, but you do need to update it. It should always reflect a current date. I would take a look at that probably twice a year. Make sure your date has been changed on the plan itself, because things do change around their house, your house, everywhere. Okay. So make sure you're looking at that. Make sure numbers and things like that are updated. I would recommend that you download the new template and address all of the elements that are on that new template and use that. And you can upload that along with your preparedness plan if you'd like, or in lieu of. Okay. Your CCAT time and attendance agreement, you're familiar with those. Okay. Provider agreement and provider rate agreement. Okay. Providers, this page also requires you to enter the rates and registration fees. So we want to make sure that everything aligns between what you've notified your parents the rates will be and what you're telling us for CCAP your rates will be. So between your time attendance, provider rate agreement, and how you're notifying your parents, okay, of what the rates are going to be, need to all align. Okay, then we have your current state and fire marshal inspection. Do not wait for them to initiate it, because they will not. You have to initiate it as a provider. They can be rather busy, so between 3 to 4 months. So do not delay. Make sure that you're requesting this in plenty of time before your other one expires, okay? You don't want that to expire, not be able to submit your application, because all of your documentation has to be current and uploaded to submit. Pictures of residents. So you have pictures of residents, the services will take place. It tells you which pictures are needed right here. Entrance and space will where care will be provided, which could be anywhere. So you'll probably need several pictures to snap around. Now you can use email the pictures to you if you're using your iPhone. You can put them into a Word doc as JPEGs or TIFFs or anything else, bitmaps, so that you can keep them all in one document. All right. And I'll go over how to reduce the size of the pictures to help you in just a little bit. It's also in your in-home manual. If you look on EdLink training, your new in-home manual provides you with a scanning profile on how to keep your images small. Proof of residency. Okay, we're looking for utility bill, cable bill, school records, okay, housing lease or contract, mortgage, tax, anything that can verify your residency. Then you have verification of identity. We do need front and back. Okay, Social Security card, front and back. This is for all owners and providers. If you have a staff member or a resident, we do not need that. Okay. Of course, then we have your IRS form. And if you still need to get it, especially if you're filling out a new application for the first time, then click here and you can make a request for that. Vehicle information. It's only going to be asked for if you offer this as a service for field trips or to and from school. Verification of checking or savings. Even if you already had your checking account on file, you have no payment issues, you still need to download that direct deposit authorization form and complete it, and then upload it again later in the application. And verification of rates. This is what I was mentioning earlier. We make sure that what you've notified your parents is aligned with what you are claiming under your rates and fees up here, okay? So once you read these, you're going to click yes, I agree. And you can always come back to these instructions at any time. And I'll show you how to do that here in a moment. So we hit save and continue. And it rolls us over into our next step. And notice how I clicked on these three hash lines up here, the hamburger. It just expands my monitor. If I want to bring it back, the viewing area, then I just click back on it. But at this point in time, you don't need to do anything with any of these options over here. Because if you're completing a new application, you most certainly don't need any of these because everything's in your application. And if you're completing a renewal application less than 90 days to your expiration, every single change, addition, deletion, modification is done inside of your renewal application. Okay, so there's no reason to have these out right now. So just click that and that way you can have a large viewing area. Okay. So section one, funding source. Renewals, yours is already going to be populated from whatever you had last year. All right, so I'm going to leave it at this. I'm just going to leave it the way it is. And we're going to just pretend that for renewals, that's how it was transferred over from last year. We're going to hit save and continue. Now you'll have something slightly different here for the renewals. You'll have your name. It should be your name. Okay, so I'm going to put Pamela Mertens because remember I'm doing a new one. Okay, so I'm just going to put in any kind of address in here. Okay, and let's just get this down for time purposes. Now, Louisiana is always at the top. So for you renewals who are trying to put a new address in, first of all, you can't do anything to your physical address. Remember, can't do a change of location. You'd have to do a totally new application, which is what I'm doing too. If your physical address is the same as the mailing, just hit copy to mailing and it pops everything over here. It saves a lot in time and errors. Now, you have edit buttons over here on the right when you're renewing. Do not hit edit if everything looks good. There's no reason to hit edit and change anything if it is still current or correct. Just check it. Remember the verify, modify. If it looks good, just keep going. Now down here for renewals, this is different, this option for you guys. So you may want to click on edit and put your social media URLs into these boxes here. You may also want to change your notification email. And it's not the notification email from EdLink. It's going to be the notification email from parents. So when they look at school and center finder, and I'm going to click on this here. So anything I click on opens in its own window. Okay. And then we just take a look at what our site looks like, and you can put your name in as well. And it'll have the location. This is the usually a contact email in here. Okay, so here it is right here. So your contact email, that's what you can change right now, but your hours of operation and all of your information, okay? So I'm gonna click out of that, doesn't impact my application. All right, so now if there's something you want to delete or change in here, you're gonna click on edit and just make your changes and then you're gonna hit save. And that's the same for any of these boxes. Okay, now do not change your provider name without letting your consultant know first. We need to make sure that everything is done concurrently with CCAP, especially if you're CCAP, okay? We just need to make sure all that's done together, okay? All right, so we're gonna hit save and continue down here. Now I move to the next section. This is service and hours. And now up here, this is your capacity at the very top of the page. So your lowest age, to your oldest age, youngest to oldest, okay? So I'm going to put in 2 years to 6 years, okay? Now, if you're caring for any child under the age of 1, then you will put months or weeks. And notice the safety approved crib statement pops up underneath. Make sure you read it very carefully. You will also have to sign and currently date this application every time you sign out and sign back in. You will not be able to submit your application if this date is not reflected as today's date. Okay. Now, if you don't have any child under the age of 1, then this will not appear for you. Okay, but you can also edit. Remember, all section have, they have an edit button on the right side for the renewals. This is a new application. All right, so now we've defaulted for operating hours to being open all year long. Okay, if you're not open all year long, maybe it's just the summer months you do, you're going to click on edit for renewals, and then you're going to put no. And then just tell us from when to when. Maybe you only do the summer months. Okay, maybe there's a time where parents go on vacation and you watch their kids. Well, if that's the case, then you might be a May to August overnight. Just depends on what you're offering. But when you choose overnight, it pops to a 24-hour clock and you don't have to do anything else. Okay. But if you are one of the more majority of the providers, you're Monday through Friday. And if you're Saturday or Sunday, that's perfectly fine. Just click those if you want those. And we defaulted the time to 7 to 5. If you want to change it, just click on it and hit 6. Okay, it's a lot faster to click on it and type it in than to hit this clock and scroll everything, okay? And then let's say you're open till 7, just hit the number 7. You don't have to hit 0, 7 to 7 is fine. And now I want this time for all these days. So I'm just going to hit copy to all. And it pops all that information in there. Now, additional services, these were transferred over, okay? Because remember, we have edits on all these if you need to make changes. If you don't click on edit. But in your additional services, you can hit the edit and go ahead and check off the things that you want to offer. Let's say last year, you didn't have enough employees to offer before care or after care, or maybe you thought that with your in-home situation, sure, I can do before care and after care, and I can do some summer holidays. I do want to offer half days, okay? And I don't mind taking them on field trips from time to time, okay? Whatever you want to do in here. So, excuse me. So you can edit it and remove services, or you can add services. Now, special needs is federally mandated. You will not be able to remove that. Okay, we must provide care for special needs children. So once you've selected the ones you want, you hit save. Okay, and you can also come down here first and go ahead and adjust your time blocks. If you choose anything up here that relates to time, you'll get a new time block that pops up down below. So before care, we just want to make sure that your start time aligns with when your facility is open. And your aftercare aligns when your facility is closed. Now see, we said 7 p.m. So down here, we want to go ahead and change that to 7. Don't assume that it's correct, okay? Make sure you double check these. And then we're going to just hit save and continue. Don't forget now. It won't allow you to do it on your renewals. If you were to just go straight to save and continue, it's not going to be dark green and it won't be active because you need to come back up here to additional services and hit the save button first. It'll tell you what you're doing wrong. If this button is not active, it will throw an error in red and let you know what you need to correct, okay? So now we're to the ownership type. Of course, your ownership type is normally individual, could be LLC, corporation. There's a few that it could be. Most of you are individual, but that will already be listed here. Okay, you will not be able to adjust that. It'll be gray. So anything on your renewal that's in a shaded gray, which is kind of this color, a little bit darker, it means that it's non-editable. Okay, anything that's white, you can edit. So your federal EIN number, that will also be transferred over. Okay, and your state number for in-home, you're likely using your social security number, whatever you've been using, you will be able to put that in here and make changes to that. There won't be an edit button. You will just be able to go ahead and click in it and make changes. So now we hit save and continue. And now we're to the home-based provider. Okay, so this is you. This is the provider. So we're going to put your information. Okay. Now, what I want you to notice here, this is very important. You must have one on-site and one off-site emergency contact. So the provider is always going to be an emergency contact for obvious reasons. Okay, and you will be working on site at this center. Now, next year, some of the terminology will be more specific to in-home providers, okay? But I think you get the point in that one. Okay, additional names. Have you used any other names in the past 5 years? If you have, you're going to select yes. You're going to go to add new. And you're going to put in the name that you used, the date you started using the name, and the date you stopped using the name. Now, this is if it's different than what your application has will be submitted under. So for instance, I have Pamela Burns up here. You only need to complete this if I've used other names in the last 5 years besides Burns. Okay, if it's correct, hit the check mark and you'll see it listed there. Okay, so I'm going to leave that there. But if I decide maybe I misread that because I had this name 6 years ago, not 5 years ago, then I can just select the trash can. Are you sure you want to delete? And hit yes. Now, notice how that's still over yes. That means we're waiting on a name. If you delete it, make sure you go back and put no. Okay. Now, if you were to try to go down here to save and continue, I'm going to leave this just like that so I can show you what the error will look like. Okay. So the provider's physical address. Okay. This is the provider's physical address. Louisiana is always at the top. Choose a parish, and you copy some mailing if it's the same. If it's different, then type it in. And if you're doing renewal, remember, both of these can be changed because this is a provider's address, okay? It's not the family or in the home address, okay? So you can click on edit. You can click on edit to any of these sections here. So starting from the top, you'll have an edit button on the right side. Okay, you'll edit button. And then when you get down here to personal identification, you'll also have an edit button. So you'll enter your birth date. And your birth date, you need to be over 16, but less than 100. This is very critical that you put the correct social and birth date, because this is what your CCCBC status links to. Your identification number, that is a government issued ID. It can be a driver's license, a military ID, spousal military ID, passport. Okay. And then just put the issuing state, sex. Okay. And you also have preferred not to disclose. Okay. And now it's asking, are you married? Because if you're married, you need to put your spouse's information the same way that you just entered your information at the top. Everything is the same. But I'm going to go up here for time's sake and hit no. Okay, now notice how this is not dark green. I finished filling everything out on this page, so I don't know why it's not letting me save and continue. You see what that says? If you choose yes, you must enter one or more additional names. It tells me in section two. So let me go back up to section two and make that a no. And now it's active. Okay, so now we have our providers and support staff. So don't worry that this says select or incomplete. It's just telling you as a provider that there are a few more questions we want you to answer. And the way that we do that is by clicking on the pencil. And then it opens up, and this is the gray that I was referring to. You cannot change this, okay? If you wanted to change this, you would have to go back to the provider page. This employee is an emergency contact. This employee is also a household resident, okay? We're going to leave it at no, unless I am a household resident. If you're an au pair or a nanny, and maybe you are living in the house, okay? But we're going to leave it at no. Okay, and then the address information is already input. Okay, all that is there. So now we need to make sure that we assign a specific position for that provider. So we're going to select provider. And then we're going to put the number of years of experience. And just for time's sake, I'm going to put that I was hired today and I started this current role today. and then click qualify for school readiness credit. So now down here, this is where it's really important. You will need these credentials right here before you can move on and save the information for this provider. The provider staff detail will not be saved, and you cannot submit if you don't have all of these credentials uploaded. Okay, so you need CPR, pediatric first aid, pre-service orientation training, medication administration training, mandated reporters, and ELC experience. Now remember, if you're not a CCAP provider, then for that pre-service orientation category, you're just gonna upload a dummy doc, a blank Word doc. Medication administration needs to be there. Mandated reporters is done yearly. Your pre-service orientation, for those who are actually CCAP providers, you will only have to do this one time, okay? You don't have to do it every year. Mandated reporters, like I said, is once a year. And then your ELC experience, this can be one of three things. You can use a current resume. You can obtain a letter of recommendation from another certified provider attesting to your years of experience. And you can also submit last year's provider qualification letter, okay? And so you have a choice there, okay? You have options. So you have links. If you click on these links, it'll take you to these training sessions or explain it within the bulletin. So we're gonna go ahead and add our certificates in there for the providers. So we're gonna do add new. These are the categories. Everything is going to be under training, except for that very last one that says ELC experience under the list. So everything's under training first, the first five. Okay, so we're gonna go to type now, and we're just gonna work down the list, CPR. Okay, I'm gonna put who it's certified by. And now if you had a nurse or a licensed instructor, an individual, then make sure that you just put their name and put their role, their title. So the expiration date, I'm just gonna pick a date in the future for now, but you'll want to look on your certificate and make sure. And then you're going to click here and find that file and upload it. Okay, so we're going to grab one right here. And then you're going to click open. And that's what it looks like when it's uploading. You'll see a yellow bar across. Okay. Now this is what it looks like when it has been uploaded. So you have an eyeball here. So this eyeball, if you click on it, it will allow you to view what you just opened to make sure that it's what you meant to open. Okay, of course mine opened into another screen, but it is what I wanted. So once I know that, I'm just gonna click out of that tab. Okay, and it does not close out my application. If I don't like it, remember that trash can is used throughout the application. Okay, you can delete it that way and upload a new one, or you can hit X and start all over. Okay, but if I like it, I'm gonna hit the check mark. So let's do the other one a little bit quicker. So here we're gonna go to education training again and then pediatric first aid. Now, maybe you did these trainings together on the same day. That's fine, just upload the same document twice, but in different categories, okay? So we're gonna pull this one open. Let me see if I can find one a little smaller. There we go. Well, that's the one I just used. There we go. Okay. We're going to double check it if we want or delete it and hit save. Okay. We're just going to work down the list here. Pre-service orientation. Okay. It's a Udemy course, but it doesn't matter what you put there, especially if it's a dummy doc. You never have to renew this. So for those of you who are for all of you at this point, just put any date in the future. It doesn't matter. It's not going to expire. Okay, you're going to find that same document. Okay, and let's see if I can get, there we go. Okay, and we're going to hit save. We have three more. Okay, so education training, medication administration. Same thing, you're gonna put an expiration date. That's why it's good to have all of this organized before you start the application. And maybe you can write down the dates, that way you don't have to reopen the files to look for the expiration dates. have all your, you know, the socials ready, anything that you might need. Just be as organized and prepared as you possibly can, because it will help with the frustration. Okay, mandated reporters. All right, and the expiration date. Okay, and hit yes. Now this last one is in a different category now. So this last one is in experience, and it's the only one you can choose. A number of years of experience. I'm going to upload that one. Okay, and now we have everything that we need in order to submit this application as far as credentials go. So if you want to pause the screen at this point and maybe snap a picture of that, you're more than welcome to do that. But they are listed in Bulletin 137. Okay, so now I'm going to hit save. And now I'll notice that those incomplete and select are gone. So the provider's good to go. Now, if I want to add staff, let's say I have one person helping me out. Okay, that I pay. So we're going to do add new. And this is likely not going to be the case, but you do need to know how to do it. Okay, you're going to put their name in. Okay, and their email. Now, EdLink doesn't know if the email is legitimate, but it does know if it's not formatted properly. Okay, is this employee a contact? I'm going to put no. Is this employee household of resident? No. Okay, so let's give her an address. Okay. And copy to mailing. Now we need to give her some personal information. And this is the same as yours. So this is just like seeing yours over again. Okay. So it's just a little more practice. Now, once you put your social in and click away, it redacts and you can only see the last four. Okay, issuing state, and we're going to say she's not married. Okay, but if she were married, remember, she just has to fill out her spouse information. So we're going to put support staff for her because we already have a provider. You also, and you don't even have to put years of experience here. I'm just going to put one because as other staff, they don't need experience. Just keep in mind that if you do not have the provider complete or even appointed in an application, you cannot submit. You can't submit an application without the provider. Okay, so we're going to go down here to this individual. They only need three. Okay, they only need CPR, first aid, and mandated reporters. Okay, so let's put those in. We're almost finished. Okay, so we're going to check that, and then we're going to add new again. Pediatric first aid. And again, if they took these on the same day and they're part of the same PDF, then that's fine. There's no problem. Just upload that document into both categories. Okay. We have one more, mandated reporters. So that's all under education training. Keep losing my file. Oh, there we go. Okay, we need an expiration date. Now look what happens if I try to save this. Okay, it reminds me I need an expiration date. Okay, so it will let you know if you're missing something. Okay, so that is what your other staff, your support staff needs. If you want to pause this and take a picture of that. And then we're going to hit save. And now we have one support staff and one provider. So we're going to continue now. I want to show you what this looks like. Okay. So now we have to stop. I have to go to lunch. I've got to take care of kids. I have to answer the phone or I'm just leaving for the day. So your previous page was saved. You haven't put anything on here. So just go to return to application home and it'll say renewal application home. Remember that. Remember to don't forget the renewals. When you make any of your changes or additions, you do have that edit button that's on the right side. You'll see that on all of your sections that you can edit, okay? But notice how all the steps that we've gone through have complete badges, all right? So don't forget, as a provider, you have to remember once you put yourself in correctly, you're going to get a complete badge. EdLink does not know if you have support staff. So if you do have support staff, make sure you go back to this, even though it says green, you're going to click on review and edit and add that new support staff. Okay. So let's go back to household members now. Okay. We want to add some household members. So let's see if we have anybody saved in here. Let's do this. We're just going to, let's see, we're going to do parent. And their social. Okay. ID number, same as yours, so far as instructions go anyway. Okay, phone number, it's not mandatory, but it's probably good to put one in. Same with the email address, okay? Is this resident a staff member? I'm going to say no, okay? Because we already have that other person with the alphabet, and all the letters of the alphabet in their name, okay? So we're going to hit the check. Okay, and now we have one member. Now, if there's another parent, we'll put another parent. If there is a brother or a sister, let's do a young one. Child. Okay, date of birth. So here we're going to do, okay, so it's just a baby. Okay. ID issuing. Oh, they wouldn't have an ID. You just put your zeros. It doesn't matter how many you put there. Okay, but you do have to put something in there. Okay. And then, of course, phone number and email is not going to be there for a one-year-old. Okay. Is this resident a staff member? Obviously not. So we're going to hit check. Okay. So now it looks like it's a single mother, single parent, and then the young child. Okay. Now, if you have brothers, sisters, husbands, if an uncle's living there, which you have the option of choosing this one right here, other includes family or non-family members that reside in the home. So somebody who is not a dependent. Okay. If you change your mind, you can always hit the X. Now remember, make sure that your background check is on the up and up, okay, before you start your application as well. So this is the address of the child's home. Okay, so we're going to enter the child's address. And now we're going to hit save and continue. Now, renewals, you'll have information that transferred over. If any of those residents are not there anymore, then you can delete them with a trash can. But remember, if a child, and I use that term loosely, but if a young adult over 18 still lives there, even if they're gone to college, you still need to leave them on there. Okay, because they come home from college. So you need to make sure that if they are just away at college, but they do reside there on their breaks or when they come home for the summer, then you need to leave them there, okay? This is a CCCBC page. So in this one, you'll get all of the eligible statuses. So it'll just be for yourself and for the residents, any of your support staff, but anyone respectively needs to have the eligible status. Now the ones I had, these are fictitious names. So no match means that an application wasn't on, or not on file, okay? Because otherwise you would have these other statuses, all right? But in order for you to submit, and this goes for the renewals also, in order for you to submit, it has to be eligible. If you are having issues and seeing a no match, then go back to your staff page, double check your social and your birth date, make sure they're correct or for that staff member or support staff. Okay, and if there's still an issue to where it's still coming up as no match, then you need to contact CCCBC and make sure that there's nothing that they're waiting on or any questions they may have, or just something dropped through the cracks. You never know. But you can reach them by clicking on this image. See this right here? Click the image below and it'll take you to that main page. And you can also click on this link. Both of these will take you to BSC. Okay, it's tough to say that one time fast. You can refresh your statuses over here. Okay, and then hit save and continue. All right, so now we're uploading our emergency preparedness plan. So this is the template that I was referring to earlier. We're going to open it up and let you see it. And it, of course, it opened up over here. So we're going to try to pull it over. Let's try this one more time. There we go. Okay. So it's not that big, in home, but make sure that your emergency preparedness plan has everything that's in here. Okay. In this list. We're going to close out of it. And then you're going to scan it in. And then you're going to put it in here by uploading. Okay. Now, down here, you have emergency plan requirements. You can upload this too, and it reflects pretty much what is inside of your template, but more further explanation anyway. Make sure that your emergency preparedness plan is up to date, because you don't want to be rejected for renewal, okay? Section 3, emergency contacts. So remember when I selected that Pam Burns was an emergency contact. Okay, I selected that. So my on-site has to be selected in the provider or staff page. You cannot add on-sites here, but we already have one. We only need one of each. It says two of each, but you only need one of each. Okay. That will be changed as well. So we do need to add an off-site though, because we need one of them. So we're going to do add new. Offsite. Okay, very simple and quick. And then check it. And now I have one of each. Now my button is dark green. All right, we're getting there. Okay, so for CCAP, so renewals. Again, just to let you know that those of you who have been providers for a while, we have now managed to keep your anniversary date, your CCAP, and your academic approval all in the same anniversary month, okay, moving forward. So that should be a lot easier to you, for you guys. But notice how this accepted button is not active. You can't click on it. Okay, that's because we are going to make you grab this scroll bar, and you're going to read that very carefully, every word of it, very slowly, and then bring it to the bottom. And now this is active. Okay, because I know some of you just go, oh, just check it. Just keep going. Okay, but you need to read it. Okay, and there's your agreement here. You no longer have to upload any of your documents or sign anything. Your electronic signature and your initials are here just by your secure sign-in. You can download your CCAP agreement for your records right here, though, okay, indicating your electronic signature. That will also be available to you after you renew. It will be available to you under your entity management and then entity documents at the top of the page. Okay, so down here, we're going to put the rates in. Now, anywhere where you normally would have put a zero, you're going to have to put a one. Okay, because it does not accept zero. And if there's an age, if there's an age that, that you do not service, then make sure that you put a one in that place. Okay, I'm just putting anything in. I'm sure yours are going to be different. And I'm going to put a one here, because maybe for 4 and 5 year olds, I don't offer half day. Okay. Do you charge a registration fee? If you do, check yes, and only complete the box where you do charge it. Because remember, we did the services offered. So we offered before and after care and half day and transportation. But let's say that I only charge a fee for transportation. Okay, so we're going to put 25 per child annually. Okay, I don't charge a registration fee for any of these. Well, that's fine. You don't have to put one. Okay, just keep going. Don't put anything in them and just keep going. Now, if you decide you don't charge a registration fee at all, then just check no, and all those disappear. Okay. Now, time and attendance agreement, you're going to download this form, complete it, and then you're going to upload it in here. And if you're a renewal, that should be pretty familiar to you. So now we're going to, now it says director right now. That's okay. Remember I said that next year it'll be more specific to the provider. but you are the director. Okay, and is it asking for date of birth here? Okay, so we're going to put date of birth. Now, there's no verification of your date of birth. So it's not going to say, oh, you didn't put that in there correctly. Okay, not a lot of verification on that in that regard. Okay, so here is where we're going to upload all of our inspections and our entity information, our the home information. So residence pictures, again, they want the front entrance and wherever the child's going to be cared for. Okay, so we're going to upload those. Now, when the fire marshal gives you your inspection, make sure that you upload all pages. Even if there's only something on one or two pages, upload all the pages that they send you. Proof of residency, same way. Okay, a signed, dated, notarized documentation of ownership will need to be uploaded to your licensing application. So this is a statement of ownership stating that my name is such and such, and I am the owner of blah, 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 which is located at blah, blah, blah. Okay, and then just have it notarized and signed. You can also go to the Secretary of State site, and you can enter your address there, and it will display in a downloadable document who your owner is, which would be yourself, and you can put that document here. You can upload that for documentation of ownership. All right. And that's for your business. Okay. Section 5, verification of identity. Let me get this one in there though before I forget. Okay. So verification of identity, we need that one. Let's see what we need. Social security cards. Let's do that. Okay. And your IRS forms. Okay, so what I'm doing is I'm just clicking anywhere in the bar. Okay, then I click once on my file and then just hit open. You can also click, you can double click on the file too. Rates verification, remember all of your rates need to be the same. Okay, as to what you told your parents they would be and what you told CCAB they would be. Okay, so I left one of these not uploaded. Okay, so I'm going to hit save and continue. This is the message you get. Some of the fields are missing. Do you still want to continue? I'm going to say yes, because I need to come back. I need to get that document from somebody, and I don't have it with me right now. Okay, that's fine. So banking information, you definitely want to fill out your bank information. Okay, your account number, download your direct authorization form. Okay, complete your direct authorization form and you're going to scan it back in. Okay, and account holder details. Okay, and parish. Okay, and this is where you're going to download the direct deposit authorization template. Okay, and then once you complete that, scan it back in. And then you'll upload it. Now, even for renewals, even if you have been receiving your payments, as usual, no interruptions, you still need to type in your information and download and complete a direct deposit authorization form. Okay, just for verification, there's some information that did not get transferred. We want to make sure that it's all in EdLink for you, so there's no interruptions. Okay, save and review. Some of the fields are missing. Do you still want to continue? No, because we have to figure out what's missing. Oh, disbursement type. So we're going to choose personal checking. Let's see if we've got everything now. Okay, it takes us back to our application home. So let's go through. Everything's green. Up. Criminal background check, it's not. Up. Okay, document upload. So let's see which one we're missing by clicking back on that one. Let's see. Verification of identity. Let's take care of that one. Okay, and we're going to hit save and continue at the bottom. Okay, and then we're going to go back to the application home. Let's see if that badge is green for that one. It is, but now I still have a yellow badge And I'm going to keep a yellow badge because these are fictitious names that do not have eligible backgrounds. Remember, if you did not have all green, you cannot submit. So what will happen for you guys is that once you submit your banking information for the renewals, you'll be taken to a renewal summary page where it's just going to review with you. This is what the information was when it transferred over. This is what you've changed it to. I would advise the best way to do this is probably just to start with page one and just work your way back through, verify your information. It's a lot easier to do, but if you have faith that everything you did is good and that you don't need to worry, then there's a confirm button at the top and hit confirm and it will check all of them for you because there are multiple pages that you would go through. Okay, and then you're going to be taken to a payment screen. Once you make your payment, you'll return here to this page. And when everything's green, you're going to submit your application. Now, I would advise you that do not, even though it allows you to work your way down to your payment, do not submit your payment until you've completed everything. Because if for some reason your background check is taking a long time to process, the application is only good. And this is the same for renewal. The application is only good for 90 days from the date you open it. And then you just have to start it all over again. But you cannot receive a refund. So wait to pay. And then when you have all green badges, except for maybe the payment badge, you're going to go into that one, make your payment, and then come back here and submit. Now, once you submit, it will return you to your dashboard, your entity dashboard. And you'll see it down here, but instead of it saying in progress, it'll now say pending. And you'll have a big red button here that says withdrawal, which you should not do. Okay, do not withdraw because your information disappears forever. I mean, there might be a reason you withdraw, but think it through. There's no accidental withdrawals though, because it is a four-step process. Okay, it's easy, but you do have to click okay four times. You can view instead of edit, it'll say view. You cannot make any changes once your application is in a pending progress or pending status. So you can look at it, but you can't make any changes. It might seem like you can change because it lets you type stuff in, but it's not saving it. It's not making any changes. Okay, so once you submit it, the pending process could take up to 90 days. It's not saying that it would, usually does not. It's usually way quicker than that, okay? But do not submit and then send an email or submit a support ticket asking where your license is 2 days after you submit, okay? You just have to be patient, wait and wait for your PC, your provider certification administrator to reach out to you if he or she has any questions or has any further needs from you. And they will communicate with you through EdLink, through your messages here. Make sure you read the messages carefully and follow any prompts inside the messages to click on any links to take you to what they might be needing additional information for, okay? Once you're approved, the pending application will disappear down here. You won't see it anymore, and you will receive notification that you have been approved for renewal. Now, once you've been approved for renewal, you can see your documents over here once you receive that notification. Do not do this before you see that notification, okay? Just go over here to Entity Management. Okay. And you'll be able to see or retrieve your documents in here. And it looks to me like they're probably still a little bit developing in this area for you guys. Actually, this one's closed, okay? So when you get your notification that you're certification has been renewed, then you should be able to see anything you need to see under here, including an image of the license, okay? And that is how we complete our in-home application. And if you have any more questions, please feel free to attend any of our training sessions. Try to reserve the ticketing support system for system issues. Training issues. If you have any training concerns or still need help, please visit EdLink Training, which is on this page here. Louisiana Believes. And as soon as you get to their main site, just look over here on the left and you'll see EdLink Training. It takes you to all these wonderful user guides and videos. Okay. All right. Well, it was fun, and I will see you guys in the next video.